Come on now. Yes, let's give it up for OCC. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Well, hey y'all. I was looking in the crowd and I'm like, okay, we're quiet, you know, and everything right now, but that's okay. I'm just thinking that the Holy Spirit is just exploding inside of you right now. And you're like, ooh, if I just say something right now, I'll probably be shouting and running up through the aisles. And so it's okay, all right? I just had 2 cups of coffee this morning, and I'm Richard Marks, so expect me to be doing that today, all right? And I sweat all the time. Heidi, sweat rag, please. Thank you. All right. Y'all clap for that. Yo, for those who don't know me, what's up? My name is Richard. I am the senior pastor here this morning, and Rachel has more to say.
I forgot one last thing. So at offering, they're going to give you a paper doll, and it has a prayer on it. I'm really remiss in forgetting to say this. But if you take that paper doll home and put it on your offering plate, here they are right here. You may get a hand, you may get a face, you may get a little person. Put that on your refrigerator when they're going to pass on the offering plate. You be praying for that kid. That's your kid.
I think this is me.
This is you. It says.
Like, flip it around.
It says, please let this child come to know Jesus. Wouldn't y'all like to see Richard come to know Jesus?
What? Yes, you would. Well, y'all, I'm a little bit excited about this morning. I'm really excited about this morning. Ushers, go ahead, come up. Let's worship God. An offering today. let's pray. Father, you are incredible and you are here. Not a doubt in my mind. Father, we welcome you here. And what I mean by we welcome you here, Father, I mean, you can go wherever you want to. You don't need our invitation, Father. What I mean by we welcome you here, I mean, Father, like we accept it and we're glad for it. Thank you so much for being here, God. Oh, the author of the universe chooses to hang out with us. Our author of the universe is right here. Thank you. We pray, God, that you will soften up our hearts to the gospel that we will give selflessly, Lord God. Soften up our hearts to the gospel that we can hear the gospel, understand the gospel, apply the gospel, reteach the gospel. Thank you for loving us. We pray, God, that we will all die to ourselves. Speak through me, Father, that I will die and that we will just focus on you because it's all about you. In Jesus' name we pray, everybody said. Amen, amen. Y'all, thinking about Operation Christmas Child, and you saw the boy and you saw the family and you saw him get excited over simple stuff here in the, you know, in the U.S., a coloring book and a toothbrush. Y'all, from our first world perspective, it's really easy to look at third world countries and immediately see their lack of resources. Like, that's some of the first things that we see. Nothing else, but from our first world perspective, we can look at a third world country and like, man, they really have meager resources. They really have lack of resources. It's easy to see their abject poverty, and it's easy to see in the third world country the disease and the crime. It's really easy to see the hunger. It's really easy for our first world perspective to identify the struggles that others have to experience in third world countries. And then we hear about organizations like Samaritan's Purse, which is awesome, y'all. I mean, and they serve the people who experience these struggles. And from there, you know, we snag a shoebox because we hear about what Operation Christmas Child is doing, and we snag a shoebox, we go to the Dollar Tree, and we fill it up, and we drop it off with our local church, and we say, amen, that there is an organization or there is a ministry that meets the physical needs of people, you know, who are struggling. And it's easy to say amen to that. Church, hear this. Notice I said physical needs. If we're not careful, we can easily allow our first world perspective to make us, hear this, to make us completely miss out on the primary goal of Operation Christmas Child. Completely miss it out. Yes, it is awesome that they provide shoes to kids who have no shoes. And it's awesome that they provide toothbrushes to kids who have no toothbrushes. And it's awesome that they provide coloring books for the kids who want to color. It's awesome that they're doing all of that stuff, y'all. But although the contents inside of the box meets their physical needs isn't the main point. The contents that are inside of the box is only a segue to meet their spiritual needs. That's why Operation Christmas Child is so special. That's why Samaritan's Purse is so special. The context inside of the box only points them to Jesus. That's the main deal. Think about it. He said that the kid was happy whenever he received the gifts in the box. But you see what they said after that? He said he came back and they taught him the word of God. And then they taught the daddy the word of God. And they were saved. Think about this. Because of the contents in that box and the people being there pointing them to Jesus, that boy and his entire family was saved. That's huge, right? And again, our first world perspective, we're like, oh yeah, let me pack a shoebox because this is what's going to get these kids saved. No. It's not what's inside of the box. It's only a segue to lead them to the gospel. It's the men and women who are there preaching about Christ and Him crucified. That is why we participate in Operation Christmas Child, because it's about Christ and Him crucified, church. And OCC is so powerful in doing that. Check this out. Rachel, I'm glad that you didn't share it because I am. Now, according to OCC, every 24 hours, over 30,000 people hear the gospel every 24 hours, every day, over 30,000 people, just because of this one ministry alone. That doesn't blow y'all mind? That's 30,000 people who hear about Christ and Him crucified. If this doesn't get you excited, check this out. In 24 hours, 5,249 people are saved every day. 5,249 people are saved every day, every 24 hours. Because people are packing shoe boxes and trusting that the Holy Spirit is doing what the Holy Spirit does, which is point people towards Jesus. Every kid who receives a shoebox is pointed towards Jesus. And that is what makes this ministry so powerful. Y'all hear me, I've been talking about power these last few weeks. Been resting in Acts 1:8. Let's read it again. The resurrected Jesus told his followers, but you will receive power when? Check this out, I love that. When? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. We've been talking about this power, this dunamis. And this dunamis, this power came on the people when the Holy Spirit came down. They were powerless until the Holy Spirit came down. Then they were full of this power. Every saint in here is full of that power because the Holy Spirit, God Himself, lives directly inside of you. Church, hear this. The power that the saints received is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's purpose is to point us back to Jesus. What makes OCC so special, so powerful? The contents inside of this box leads people to Jesus. They are driven by the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do? Lead them to Jesus. What does this box do? Lead to Jesus. What do the people do while they're there? They lead them to Jesus because it's all about Jesus. That's all what it's about. This is why we're here in the first place. It's all about Him. Think about it. God Himself comes inside of us to say it's all about Jesus. Whenever we're in here in a worship service and the main star of the worship service is the Holy Spirit, then we've missed it. Holy Spirit, like, no. It's about Jesus. Like, that's who you need to be worshiping. Am I making sense, church? I think we complicate this whole thing. It's about him and him alone. They got it in Acts chapter 2. So check this out. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Read Acts chapter 2. Then the Holy Spirit comes, and crazy stuff is happening. It's incredible. People are like, ooh, man, y'all must be drunk. Apostles like, we ain't drunk, bro. It's early in the morning. We get lit at night, not in the morning, But and then, check this out. Oh, right after the Holy Spirit comes upon them, like right after, it goes into Peter's sermon. Let me just give you a highlight, just a few highlights. So Peter preaches to a great big crowd of unbelievers. And let me give you the highlights of what he says. Acts 2, 23 through 24. Peter is saying this to this great crowd. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. Check this out. This Jesus. Now, hear this. Delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. It was God's plan all along for Jesus to die. But check this out. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. Oh, man, they're being bold right there. Think about it. Peter was like, this Jesus, who, by the way, you killed. Ooh, that has to take some boldness to do that. They killed a man. That has to take some boldness to doing that. But check this out. But what did God do? Verse 24, God raised them up. Raised them up, loosening, I love that, loosening the pangs of death. What a pang is a sharp pain or an emotional pain. And Jesus died, but God raised them up, loosening the pangs of death. You know, in a worship song, it says, oh, death, where is your sting? Saints, we don't have to experience the emotional pain, the sudden pain of death, because Jesus defeated death. Oh, pain, oh, death, where is your sting? It ain't nowhere, because God done busted upside the head. We rejoice in that. Because check this out. Because it was not possible. Told you about the power of God. It was not possible for him to be held by it. I just think that's so beautiful. Jesus is so powerful. It is impossible for death to hold him back. Oh, that's big. And that's our daddy. That's our daddy. So powerful, death couldn't stop him. We hear all of the time that God rose Jesus from the dead. We hear that, saints, and we say that year after year after year after year, and I think sometimes it loses its potency. You die, my brothers and sisters, no matter how strong or powerful you are, and your stone ain't going to be rolled away, and you ain't going about to put a walking dead, you know what I'm saying, and get up. It ain't going to happen. You ain't powerful enough. Our God is. Peter is saying that full of the Holy Spirit. Peter is saying that. Now check this out. Verse 32 and 33. This Jesus God raised up, and from that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, that power. He has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. He was like, this power that you're witnessing right now, it's God directly inside of me. So Peter is saying all of this stuff, and he's talking about Christ and him crucified and about the promise of the Holy Spirit, and that they receive the power of the Holy Spirit. He's all talking about Christ and what Christ has done. And check out the results, men and women. Hold on, let me pause right there. There was no, Peter kept it plain and simple.
Plain and simple. No projection screen, no potluck, no fancy projects. He kept it plain and simple and kept it 100. For those who like, what's 100? I mean, that's just kept it true, kept it plain, just kept it like it is. And check out this result. Check out these results after he said that, after preaching that to a great crowd. Verse 37 through 41. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. That's it. There was nothing glamorous about his teaching. He just talked about Christ and him crucified. And what did the Holy Spirit do? Cut them to their heart. And they responded to the Holy Spirit. And they said to Peter and to the rest of the disciples, brothers, what shall we do? Okay, I got it. I can't do anything. You think about it. They're like, they surrendered right there. Surrendered to the Holy Spirit. They were cut to the heart, and they didn't immediately think, oh, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. They're like, what can I do? Apostles, what do I do? You know what he said? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Pointed back to him. For the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized, and God himself will live inside of you. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Verse 40, and with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Oh, I love verse 41. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls. That's incredible, right? And whenever we hear that, we're like, man, 3,000 souls in one day? Don't y'all want to experience that today? And sometimes it's like, man, where is that going on today? Operation Christmas Child. That same Holy Spirit that was inside of them. It's in OCC. And check this out. 5,249 people are getting saved every day. You think that Holy Spirit is dead? It's still going. Which tells me it's still alive. Which tells me he can use us to produce the same or better results. All we have to do is keep it about Jesus. That's it. That's it. Y'all, this is good news. 3,000 men woke up sinners and went to bed saints. 3,000. And that's just the men. Scholars say it could be anywhere between 4,000 and 8,000 people, including women and children. What would this world, what would our city look like? What would our county look like if 3,000 more people got saved and committed? Ooh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. 3,000 men woke up that morning destined for hell. Destined for hell. But Satan's plans were interrupted by the people who had the Holy Spirit inside of them declaring the excellencies of Jesus. Think about this. They interrupted Satan's plans. That's big. Whenever you proclaim the excellencies of Christ, you are interrupting Satan's plans. You're advancing the kingdom and attacking Satan's plans, Satan's kingdom. Satan advances. You know how powerful that is? And the Holy Spirit is guiding you. How do you stop that? Oh. Church. Our sermon series is called House Hunters. Be the church that you want to see. Be the church that you want to see. That you, every saint in here, not a doubt in my mind, want to stop Satan's plans. And you want to be that church. Amen. We should. And it shows us exactly how to do that. Y'all want to know how to stop Satan's plans? This is how you do it. This is how you do it. All right, this is how you do it. Two things. You have to keep the focus on Jesus and tell others about him. That's it. How do you stop Satan's plans? Keep the focus on Jesus and tell others about it. And check this out. Boldly tell others about it. You know when people say, like, and this is a famous saying right now, what is it? Preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. It's famous right now, right? And I hear that. There's some truth in that. I don't think it's like not biblical, but I think sometimes we like kind of hide behind that. You know what? I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to let my actions bring them towards Christ. Sometimes I think we can put that as a crutch, yo. For every saint in here, raise your hand. Raise them up high. Don't be ashamed. Now check this out. I'm going to ask you one more thing. Every saint in here that got saved because somebody told you about Jesus, led you to Christ, stand up. Go ahead, stand up. You see how important it is about telling somebody about Jesus? You see how important? Look around. Just look around. That's how important it is to open up your mouth and declare the excellencies of Christ. You can have a seat. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes, you know, God, I've met people that they were sitting in their room by themselves and God just like, you know, opened up a book or something like that. I don't know. And they read something and then they just submitted their lives to Christ. That happens, but that's not the primary way. That's not the primary way. Primary way is you got to open up your mouth and say something. You got to say something. Church, if we want to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit here, keep it about Jesus and say something about it. Boldly say something about it. We can't be ashamed in doing that, church. You can't be ashamed in doing it. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, 7 through 8. Check this out. For God gave us not the spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Some translations say in a sound mind. Now check this out. God didn't give you a spirit of fear. Like, you're supposed to be ashamed. Like, if you have fear in your heart, that ain't coming from God. That's the plan of Satan. He wanted to have you fearful so you're not. So you're not doing what? Check this out. Verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony. Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. Nor of me as his prisoner, but share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Don't be ashamed of the testimony. Now, ashamed, church, ashamed in this context means this: a sense of terror or fear because of the disgrace connected with the performance of some action. Let me repeat that. The sense of terror or fear because of the disgrace connected with the performance of some action. I'm not going to do it because I am afraid of the negative consequences that may happen. I am not going to preach the gospel because you know the rejection I might experience? I may get fired. I may get made fun of. I may get rejected. And the reason why we don't do this, myself included, church, is because we're afraid of the negative consequences. Sure, it's easy to proclaim the excellencies of Christ right here. It's easy for all believers. But when we get out in the world, it gets a little bit more difficult. It gets a little bit more scary. I'm guilty of this. I am so guilty of this, men and women. But Paul is telling Timothy, now check this out. Paul is in a hole in the ground in Rome as a prisoner for sharing Christ with the world. He's locked up, facing death. Paul is about to die. Like, these are his final words to Timothy, his spiritual son. And he goes, don't be ashamed. Don't be scared. Don't be scared of the testimony of the Lord, nor as me as your prisoner. Yes, I'm locked up, and yes, I'm about to die, but don't be scared of that, about that. Why? If anything you're going to be scared about, you're scared for your own life, right? There's a reason, church, why Paul is telling Timothy, don't be ashamed. There's a reason for that. And it is a cool reason indeed. Y'all want to hear it? I guess not. Y'all want to hear it? Check this out. Revelation 12, 7 through 11. Oh, this is what happens. This is why we shouldn't be ashamed, church. Now, war arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated. That's big. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. Verse 9. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth. And his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power, power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brothers have been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God. Verse 11 sums it all up. And they have conquered him. They have conquered Satan. They have defeated Satan. By what? Check this out, church. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they love not their lives even until death. Satan is defeated by what Christ has done for us. The blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Our saying something about it. Satan is defeated that way. That's huge. That is huge. You want to beat Satan? It's about what Christ did. Why do you think the Holy Spirit points us back to Jesus? Because he's like, the blood of the Lamb is what conquers Satan. Now, one of y'all, the sacrificial lambs, is God. It's Jesus himself, and he already did it. But that's half of the part. And by the word of your testimony. Why do you think the word says life and death is in the power of the tongue? You gotta say something, yo. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Whenever you proclaim the excellencies of Christ, you are proclaimed. This is what Jesus did. These people were cut to the heart by hearing what Jesus has done for them. Chew on that, church. And some of you all are experiencing strong, like Satan is whooping your butt in a lot of stuff. Whooping your butt in your marriage. Whooping your butt with your kids. Whooping your butt in your family. You name it. And if you want Satan defeated in that, rely on Christ and proclaim his excellencies. Use your mouth. Yo, yeah, I said mouth. I'm from the South, right? Use it. What about going to your wife and just say, hey, this is what God has done for me. This is what God done for you. Let's keep the main thing. The main thing is about Jesus. That's how Satan is defeated. That's how Satan is defeated. Proclaim what Christ has done for you and what Christ has done for us to your children. That is how Satan is defeated. The blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. How can we be silent? How? Don't y'all want to see Satan defeated? Conquered in every area. Every area. Think about our God. Our God is a jealous God when it comes to us. He doesn't want 90% of our heart. He wants 100. And he's going to pursue us till he gets it. He's not going to stop. A jealous God. He wants all of it. I want to see Satan defeated in all walks of life. All walks. Which means I can't stop saying something. I can't do it. Can't do it. Let's experience that, church. I'm going to end with this. Oh, I'm going to end with this. Romans 10, 13 through 15 says this. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's beautiful right there. What can we proclaim? We can proclaim that Christ died for everybody. When I'm talking about everybody, I'm not just talking about for every race. I mean, it doesn't matter what you've done. A lot of people came in this building, probably think that you don't deserve the love of God. Let me tell you that none of us do. None of us. None of us do. None of us deserve it. But Jesus gave it to us because he loves us. And he died for all of us. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? People can't call on the name of Jesus if they don't believe in him. It goes deeper than that. How can they believe in him of whom they have never heard? How do you expect people to hear, like to believe in Jesus? They ain't even never heard of him. And how are they to hear without someone preaching, declaring the excellencies of Christ? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Unless they are commissioned. God took care of that. How do I know that? The Great Commission, Matthew 28, and you will be my disciples. You know, like, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, in the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I, all about me, I have commanded. And remember you, I'm going to be with you always, even to the end of time. Everybody in here is sent. Everybody in church, oh, hear this. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. I'm thinking of one day I see heaven. You know, I'm in heaven, I see God. God keeps an account of all of this stuff. And I want him to say, Richard, new beginnings have beautiful feet. Beautiful feet. Y'all preach the good news. You preached it. You were unashamed. You wasn't worried about the negative consequences. You kept it about me. Kept it about me. Church, don't you desire to be that church? Yeah. That power, that dunamis that we've been talking about these last few weeks, it's the Holy Spirit. And every saint in here has the Holy Spirit inside of you. You have all of the power to declare the greatness of God. Let's go use this power to change the world. Anybody in here that don't know Jesus, it's this simple, right? Like, this is as simple as I can get. God loved you so much, sent his only son on this earth. He lived a perfect life, and he was punished for the wrongs that you and I do. He was punished for it. And that punishment is death and separation from God. But Jesus is so powerful. He is God himself. God raised him from the grave, defeating the pang of death, defeating the consequences of death. And without him doing that, like, you can't get to God at all. So he made a way so you can get with him, so God can give you a mission and a purpose, and then whenever you die, you will be with him forever. Jesus did that for you because he loves you. That's why he did it, simply because he loves you. It is time to experience that. It is time to accept it right now. Right now. Because Jesus is the only way. That's the gospel. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If there's anybody in here that don't know Jesus,
that would like to know Jesus today, will you be bold to raise up your hand? Anybody here that don't know Jesus, that would like to know Jesus today? Every saint in here, use the Holy Spirit. It points you directly to Jesus. Make it all about him. Trust the Holy Spirit inside of you. And let's go do damage for the kingdom. Amen. Let me pray us out. Father, thank you so much that you're here. Thank you, God, so much for the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. We pray we will rely on that Holy Spirit, God, and we will make it all about Christ and preach Christ, proclaim Christ, eat, live, breathe Christ, God. We pray that the world will be miraculously changed because of our proclaiming the excellencies of Christ. We want to be that church, a church that serves, a church that gathers in community, and a church that preaches about Jesus. God, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, everybody said, amen.